In 1977, an unusual case caught the attention of the media. It had been solved through a supernatural intervention. The spirit of the female victim returned to Earth to unravel the mystery of her own death and identify those accused of her murder. But was it really true? This is the story of Teresita Barca. Teresita Barca was born in 1929 in the Philippines, the only daughter of a wealthy and influential couple. As it is an old case, which took place in the 70s, there is little information available about her childhood, adolescence, and early adulthood. At the end of the 50s, she graduated in music at Assumption College in Makati, Philippines. In the 1960s, she moved to the United States and completed a master's degree in music at Indiana University in Bloomington, Indiana. Although art had always played an important role in her life, she decided she wanted to work in the medical field and ended up training as a respiratory therapist. This occupation suited her, as breathing is a fundamental part of singing. She worked as a therapist at Edgewater Hospital, Miami, Florida, and gave private piano lessons in her apartment. In 1977, at the age of 47, on Monday, February 21st, she worked her routine shift at the hospital, then returned to her building at around 7:30 p.m. She received a call from her friend Ruth Loeb. Ruth says Teresita was happy, but she didn't stay long on the call because she was waiting for a visitor who was to arrive in a few minutes. Ruth did not ask for the person's name or any other details. An hour and 10 minutes later, at 8:40 p.m., a couple, Marid and Catherine Nadza, who lived down the hall from Teresita's apartment, called the building's caretaker to say they could smell smoke around the apartment. It was coming from outside, but they didn't know where it was coming from. The caretaker noticed that the smoke was coming from apartment 15, where Teresita lived. When Teresita did not answer his calls, he immediately called the fire department and began evacuating residents. By the time firefighters entered the building, the hallway was already filled with smoke. They forced entry into her home and were able to extinguish the blaze within minutes. Once the fire was put out, they were horrified to discover that the fire had been no accident. They found Teresita's body under a mattress on the floor. She was naked and had a kitchen knife planted deep in the center of her chest. Detectives were called to the scene and confirmed that they were dealing with a homicide. Whoever killed Teresita had started the fire to destroy any evidence of the crime. Because Teresita's body was naked, the detectives believed she had probably been sexually assaulted before she was killed. Although the fire destroyed some potential evidence, the police could see that the apartment had been ransacked. The position of the furniture suggested a struggle had taken place between the criminal and the victim. They were unable to determine if anything was missing from the apartment, but it was possible that a robbery had occurred. Detectives searched the apartment for any clues that could lead them to the killer, but they could find no evidence. One of the few clues was a note that was probably written by Teresita, which said, "Get theatre tickets for AS." Investigators had no idea who AS was, nor when this note was written, but they were very interested in locating and speaking to this mysterious person. They spent the next few weeks interviewing Teresita's friends, co-workers, neighbors, and students. They found that Teresita had no known enemies, and those who knew her were shocked to hear of her violent death. The autopsy was also unable to determine whether Teresita had actually been sexually assaulted or not due to the charred state of the body. During the investigation, detectives made several public appeals for help, but they received few tips about the case and were unable to develop any solid leads. In July 1977, Detective Joe Stachula arrived at work and found a note on his desk asking him to call the Evanston, Illinois Police Department regarding Teresita's murder. They had received a call from a doctor called Jose Chua. He said he had information about the case, but since it was not his unit that was handling it, he took the details and said that the detective responsible would get in touch. Dr. Jose Chua was a doctor who lived in Skokie, a suburb of Chicago. Detective Joe and his partner, Detective Lee Eplin, arranged to interview the doctor at his home. At the witness's residence, he seemed embarrassed to tell the detectives what he knew. "Do you believe in supernatural forces?" The detectives did their best to appear non-judgmental about his beliefs and were prepared to hear him out regardless. "I think my wife is somehow possessed by, oh my God, by the spirit of Teresita." Remedios, his wife, and better known as Remy, was also Filipina and began having strange dreams involving Teresita. At first she tried to ignore them, but one day while she was sleeping she went into a trance-like state and started talking to her husband, in a voice that didn't sound like her own. She said her name was Teresita. She needed help and said the man who murdered her was Alan Showery. He was in her house to fix her TV, but once there, he killed her. The trance ended and Remy woke up. Dr. Jose tried to discuss the conversation with his wife, but she behaved as if she had just woken up from sleep and did not remember anything. He decided to just ignore it and did not call the police. The following week, it happened again. While Remy was asleep, she suddenly started talking to Joe in the same voice as before. This time, the voice angrily asked him why he had not gone to the police yet. The spirit told Joe that Alan had stolen jewelry from her apartment, including several pieces that her father had bought in France and given to her mother. This stolen jewelry was now in the possession of Alan's girlfriend. The voice even gave the names of people who would be able to identify the jewelry. Still not understanding what was happening, but wanting to save his wife from another episode, he decided to call the police. Detectives doubted his claim, but the name Joe gave them matched the initials on the note that was found in the apartment. Alan Showery. As incredible as it may seem, this was the first clue they had had in months.
Hey, você se interessa por crimes reais, serial killers, coisas macabras e tem um senso de humor um tanto quanto sórdido? Se sim, você não está sozinho.
Se você precisa de um lugar recheado de pessoas como você, venha conhecer o podcast Pátria Amada Criminal.
Todas as semanas tentamos entender o pior da humanidade.
Nesse processo a gente ri, chora, fica brava, fofoca, porque afinal de contas é assim que a gente fala quando está entre amigos.
Suas novas melhores amigas trevosas estão aqui no Pátria Amada Criminal.
After doing a background check on Alan, they were surprised to discover that he actually lived near Teresita and that he also worked at Edgewater Hospital, in a different department. After speaking with some of his co-workers, detectives learned that some people remembered him mentioning that he was going to fix Teresita's television. Despite the unusual source of this information, they now needed to speak to Alan. They visited his apartment unannounced. After talking for a while, the detectives asked him if he could come to the police station. They were investigating Teresita's murder and hoped he could help them. Alan agreed. During the interview, he initially denied having gone to the victim's house. When they confronted him with the fact that other people had heard him say he was going to fix her television, he changed his story and admitted being in her apartment. But he said that when he got there, he realized he didn't have one of the tools he needed. He left, telling Teresita that he would have to call back another day. He claimed that he immediately returned to his own apartment, where he and Yanka Kamluk, his girlfriend, were having some electrical problems. Although detectives were following a lead from a ghost, they began to believe they had a solid lead on the killer. They decided to look for Yanka. Yanka said there were no electrical problems in the apartment, and that Alan also would not know how to fix these things anyway. The officers asked if he had given her any gifts, and she said yes. He had given her several items of jewellery. He said it was a late Christmas present, as it had taken him some time to save enough money to buy them. She stroked a pendant and chain on her neck as she spoke, and the detectives observed that she wore a gold and pearl ring on her finger. Still unable to believe how they were tracking down the possible killer, the detectives contacted people who knew the victim. They traced the names mentioned by the spirit to identify the jewellery. When each contact arrived at the police station, they stated that yes, the jewellery belonged to Teresita. Alan was confronted with this information, and he confessed to the murder. He admitted that he had robbed Teresita because he needed money for his rent. She asked him to fix her television and even gave him theatre tickets to thank him, as the police deduced from the note. She let him in, and once inside, he attacked her. He said that after subduing Teresita, he stabbed her in the chest. He searched the house for money but only found $30 and some jewellery. Not satisfied, he returned to the body, removed all of Teresita's clothes to make it appear that there had been a sexual assault. He then set the apartment on fire and left. Alan was arrested and charged with murder. The trial began on January 21, 1979. Initially, he declared himself innocent, but while the hearings were taking place, he eventually pleaded guilty. He was sentenced to 14 years for murder, 4 years for robbery, and 4 years for arson. Many people say he decided to plead guilty after Teresita's ghost visited him in prison. But the most likely explanation for his change of heart was that his lawyer had advised him that he would receive a lesser sentence than the prosecution was seeking if he pleaded guilty. He was incarcerated for 5 years and was granted parole in 1983. The story of the ghost who solved her own murder made headlines in newspapers across the United States and Canada. The detectives involved in the case, although they continue to say that they do not believe in the supernatural, do not have another explanation. But maybe they didn't look hard enough. It turned out that Remy and Teresita were not complete strangers. Sometime later, the pieces started to fit together. Remy was also a respiratory therapist at the hospital. Although she never worked with Teresita, they knew each other through employee training and guidance. She'd also worked with Alan, and some people say that she was afraid of him. It seems more likely that she had suspected that Alan had killed Teresita, but her fear prevented her from going directly to the police with this information. So she had invented the ghost story to tip off the police without her getting involved. She has always denied this. Was Remy really possessed by the ghost of a woman she had only met a few times? Or was it just an eccentric way of tipping off the police? Regarding this, there is still one question in the air. How did Remy know the names of people who might recognize Teresita's jewelry? The crime itself received no publicity. The claim to the paranormal was what captured the media, and to this day, Teresita Barsa is remembered as the woman who solved her own murder.
Hey, você se interessa por crimes reais, serial killers, coisas macabras e tem senso de humor tanto quanto sórdido? Se sim, você não está sozinho.
Se você precisa de lugar recheado de pessoas como você, Venha conhecer o podcast Pátria Amada Criminal.
Todas as semanas tentamos entender o pior da humanidade.
Nesse processo a gente ri, chora, fica brava, fofoca, porque afinal de contas é assim que a gente fala quando está entre amigos.
Suas novas melhores amigas trevosas estão aqui, no Pátria Amada Criminal.